What's up, everyone? It's Stacey Gatsoulias. You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On network of podcasts. And we're just going to jump right into it. Sonny Gray is terrible. He's terrible. I'm sick of seeing him pitch. I'm sick of seeing him start. And I don't want him in the rotation anymore. He needs to be fixed. Something is really wrong. He had another awful start today, this time against the decimated Baltimore Orioles, who are essentially a quadruple A team. He lasted 2 2/3. He gave up 7 runs on 8 hits. He walked 2, including Chris Davis, who is batting my ideal weight, 159, by the way. He surrendered a home run to Trey Mancini. Sorry, that was my phone. And he struck out 3. I just can't take it. I cannot take it. He needs to figure out what is wrong, why he can't pitch at home. Because coming into this game, he had a 6.80 ERA in Yankee Stadium. How is that possible? How is it possible for someone to pitch so badly at home? It doesn't make any sense. And any goodwill that he may have built up the last few starts, completely wiped out today. You can't pitch this badly against a bad team. The Orioles are the worst team in baseball. There's no excuse to losing to them. You shouldn't do it. And, you know, I'm not going to let the rest of the team off the hook because they were just not, they didn't look good. Defensively, at the plate, you know, they did stage a late rally, but of course they came up 2 runs short. And you can't play like that when you're about to go into Boston for a 4-game series. And you can't play this badly against Boston. You know, a lot of people are already saying that the division is lost, but I don't think it is. They have 10 more games head-to-head with the Red Sox. They got the 4 this weekend, and they have 6 in September, including the last weekend of the season. They still have a chance to catch up to the Red Sox and win the division. But they need to start beating crappy teams. They will be playing crappy teams after the Red Sox series is over. They're playing the Rangers, the White Sox. They play the Mets for that one game that was rained out. They play the Blue Jays. Those are the games that they need to win. And I don't want to see this, you know, losing 2 out of 3 to a crappy team. They need to sweep. They need to win 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. It's ridiculous. The Orioles are horrible, and the Yankees can't beat them. And Sonny Gray forgets how to pitch when he's in Yankee Stadium. Alex Cobb was pitching for the Orioles. He came into the game with a 2-14 record. I mean, I know they're probably not all his fault, but 2-14. He lasted 6 innings and only gave up a run. It was Gleyber Torres' first home run of the game. He hit 2. Thank goodness for Gleyber. Because otherwise, the score would have been, what, like 7-2? 7-1? And Lance Lynn came in, he stopped the bleeding, pitched 4 1/3 scoreless innings, gave up 5 hits, struck out 5, didn't walk anyone, didn't let anyone score. Even when he had runners on base, he was able to get out of it. And then Chad Green and Jonathan Holder finished up the game, pitching a scoreless inning apiece. So the main bullpen guys weren't used. But it's still not a good look. It's not a good look. You should not be losing games like this to the worst team in baseball. You just shouldn't. And Phil Nevin, the third base coach, actually questioned the Yankees' effort and energy after the game. And I think it's warranted. I mean, are they giving up on the division? Because it sort of feels that way. I mean, I know that Aaron Judge isn't playing, but you guys have to step up. Although I am really loving this whole Greg Bird bunting thing. Bunting against the shift. What a novel concept. I don't understand how someone who plays baseball doesn't know how to bunt. And there are a lot of guys out there who don't know how to bunt. And they're awful at it. There should be a drill in spring training to teach these guys how to bunt. And if they bunt against the shift and get a single or even a double if it goes really far, and if the shift is like an overshift. I saw Jason Giambi actually do that once. I want to say it was 2005. He actually made it to second base. Because they really used to shift on him a lot. Because he pulled the ball all the time. Just like Teixeira. Just like McCann. And, you know, these guys try to hit against the shift. And half the time it doesn't work. Just bunt. If you keep on bunting against the shift, they're not going to do it anymore. Seems pretty simple. So yeah, I like that. He needs to just do that at least once a game. And he needs to teach his teammates how to do that. You know, left-handers. That would be great. Maybe he can hold a drill during practice tomorrow, before the game. Let's talk about, oh, okay. There are a few weird things going on with regards to the Nationals. Aside from beating the Mets 25-4 last night. Whew. That was a game. They were winning 16-0 in the fourth inning. And I changed the channel because I saw on my phone what the score was. And I changed the channel and I got my brother's attention. He was in the kitchen. I said, check it out. He couldn't believe it. He's like, what? How is that possible? It's like in the fourth inning? I mean, the game was so weird. Jose Reyes nearly threw 50 pitches. And the other weird thing that happened is Sean Kelly flipped out on himself because he allowed some runs. And he threw his glove on the ground in frustration. He was let go by the team. Apparently, you can't get frustrated and throw a glove on the ground. If I remember correctly, Jonathan Papelbon wasn't released when he choked Bryce Harper in the dugout. Oh, right. The manager didn't see that happen. You're really going to let a guy go for throwing his glove? That's ridiculous. They also traded Brandon Kinsler because they thought he was a snitch and, I don't know, doling out clubhouse secrets to journalists. And Jeff Passan was like, no, he never said anything to me. I don't know what the Nats are doing. But the past 24 hours have been crazy. And I was just laughing at the fact that Mike Rizzo, the GM, earnestly was talking about kicking Kelly off the team. Like, they made it seem like he murdered someone. It was surreal. It really was. They were acting as if he punched a teammate in frustration. He threw his glove down on the mound. Oh, that's disrespectful. Give me a break. Let the guy be frustrated. It happens. You know, and I know he's had some trouble lately, pitching-wise, but, I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. And can you imagine a GM saying, he would probably be less harsh to a guy who beats his girlfriend or wife. It's ridiculous. I know I'm starting to sound like a radio host because I'm repeating myself. I don't want to sound like Francesa. But it's ludicrous. And I hope a team picks up Sean Kelly. It would be great if it was an NL team so he could pitch against the Nats and, like, shut them down. But it's just, that's just silly. And I hope people are calling them out for it. It doesn't seem like they are, but there should be an article written about how ridiculous this is. I haven't really seen anything today because I've been staying off Twitter. But there needs to be a bigger deal made out of this ridiculousness. Come on now, Mike Rizzo, Davey Martinez. He threw his glove. And could you imagine the articles if the Yankees did this? Forget it. It would be blown out of proportion so much, but with good reason. Why? Oh, man. Don't you want someone to be frustrated with a bad performance? You don't want them to, like, sit there and just be like, oh, man, ugh. You want them to show some passion at least, right? And, you know, not nervously smile as you come off the mound like Sonny Gray did today. That was not smart. I mean, it only lasted like a second, but of course, people got the picture of it. So that's the picture that went around and everyone was thinking, oh, great, he's laughing at how horrible his performance was. He wasn't. That sort of thing happens. It's like a nervous thing. I think. I don't think I've ever laughed nervously. Gotta think about that. Okay, it's a Yankee podcast. Let's get back to the Yankees for the finale. Again, four games in Fenway. Tomorrow night, Friday night, Saturday. Is that also an evening game? Are they putting that game on Fox? I hope not. It's bad enough that Sunday is an ESPN game again. I used to hate going to ESPN games. I had the Sunday plan at the old stadium, and I had it for the first four seasons that the new stadium was open, four or five seasons. And I lived in the city when the old stadium was still around, and even I didn't even live that far from the stadium. And there were nights when I was getting home at like 2:30 in the morning. Because, you know, Red Sox-Yankee games, even if they're nine innings long, they'd last like 4 hours. And then, you know, you can't rely on the MTA now. Could you imagine what it was like back in 2005, 2006? I remember there was one game against the Mets on a Sunday night. For some reason, the A-train wasn't running. That's what I took to get to my apartment. No one told anyone that the A-train wasn't running. We were sitting in 145th Street for about 45 minutes until someone was like, okay, what's happening? And we found out from the person in the booth, oh, A-trains aren't running. There were no signs indicating this fact. And I didn't have enough money to get a livery cab to take me up to my apartment, so I had to walk across town to the one train, waited another probably almost hour for a train. I had to actually call my boss as soon as I got in. I said, look, I didn't get home until nearly 3 o'clock in the morning from this stupid baseball game. Thank God the Yankees won. So if I'm late tomorrow, or, you know, later in a few hours, that's the reason why. I actually made it to work by 9:10, so I wasn't too late. But, woof, there were so many Sunday nights that I couldn't take it. Ridiculous. And no one wants, you know, everyone else in baseball, they don't want to see the Yankees and the Red Sox. They're sick of the Yankees and the Red Sox. Show someone else. Because I love when I go on Twitter and I see, you know, I follow a lot of different fan bases. And It's so hilarious when they complain about the Yankees and Red Sox and the Yankees and Mets and, you know, the Yankees and whoever being on Sunday Night Baseball. And I always say to them, you know, Yankee fans don't really like this either. It's not just you guys. You know, Yankee fans don't want to be going to a night game on a Sunday, especially when they start at 8. If ESPN started the games at 7 or 7, even 7:30 would make a big difference. But no, they have to start the game after 8, and by the time it starts, it's like 8:15. It's ridiculous. So anyway, at least the Sunday night game could be a good one if Tanaka continues on his role. But we'll see. And on Saturday, we'll see if Hap will be able to pitch. Cashman thinks he's going to be able to pitch, but who knows? I still can't believe he got hand, foot, mouth disease. You never hear of this. And then two players get it within a couple of weeks of each other. 2018's weird. It really is. Anyway, let's end this. If you have subjects or questions or things that you want me to discuss, please tweet me. You can tweet me at the Locked On Yankees Twitter, because I control that. And you can tweet me at my personal account at Stace Gotts, StaceGotts, because my full name is too long to make a Twitter username. I actually did have my full name as, and it was just ridiculous. And that was before they expanded to 280 characters. So it was 140 characters. I already killed 10 with my username. It was just ridiculous. So yeah, it's just Stace Gotts. And that's it. Have a good day. Hopefully the Yankees will beat the Red Sox on Thursday, so I don't have to record another angry podcast directing my ire at the Yankees. Anyway, have a good day.